thank Sister Shantae for that beautiful song.
Amen.
I want to thank my husband for the song that he brought.
Amen.
Also want to take time to thank my pastor for giving me the opportunity to stand here before you.
Bless you.
I come in recognition of my fellow parishioners on the roster, my brothers and sisters in Christ. I just want to say to you today that it's just an honor and a privilege to have the opportunity just to be able to stand. God has a plan for all of our lives, but we must line ourselves up with him to know what it is that he has set aside for us. I'm going to go into a word of prayer, and then we're going to go into our scripture. Most Holy Father, I come before your throne of grace. Come before you, Lord, with a bow down head. Lord, asking that you move me out of the way and allow your Holy Spirit, Lord God, to come in and preach and teach to your people. But Lord, I know not what to say. I know not what to do. But Father, you know all things. Lord, let this word go out, Lord, with power from you. Anoint my hands, anoint my feet, anoint my lips. So the word not comes from me, Lord, but it comes from you. For you are an awesome God, Father. And Father, you said your word would not go out void. And Lord, I just want to thank you for who you are. In your son, Jesus Christ's name, I pray. Now, I'm already full because God has really been moving in this place.
Amen.
Say, moving in this place.
Moving in this place.
God is moving in this place. God is moving. Look, say it like you mean it. I don't want to be excited by myself. God is moving in this place. I will not go out here the same way I came in. Come on, let's say it. I will not go out here the same way I came in. Because the word of God is going to go out. Come on. And it's going to change my heart. Now we're going to live with that today, and we're going to take it with us. My topic today that we're going to be talking about is Jesus, our great high priest. That will be coming from the book of Hebrews, starting with chapter 2. That's Hebrews chapter 2. We're going to go to verse 9 and 10, and then we're going to skip down to verse 17 and 18. Reverend Price is going to read that for me, so we stand to your feet so that for the reading of the word of God. Hebrews chapter 2, starting with verse 9 and 10, and then we're going to go to verse 17 and 18.
Yes, please stand for the reading of the word of God. Those of you who are able, be coming from the book of Hebrews, chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, for the suffering of death crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, might taste death for everyone. For it was fitting for him, for whom are all things, and by whom all things, in bringing many sons to glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. In verses 17 and 18, therefore, in all things he had to be made like his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself has suffered, being tempted, he is able to aid those who are tempted.
Amen.
Amen.
You may be seated. Thank you. Now my topic today, it's Jesus, our great high priest. And we have 3 points that we're going to look at and talk about. The first one is the cross. the suffering, the spiritual kingdom established. The cross, the suffering, the spiritual kingdom established. Now, when we look at this great high priest, we wonder, who is this great high priest? The great high priest that they're talking about is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world.
Yes, he is.
And the Greek word, Jesus, means Savior. And Christ means the anointed one. Mm-hmm. You know, God is a good God. When I began to do this study and the Holy Spirit began to lead me in some things, it starts your mind to thinking. And I began to think on the people of Jesus' time. How when Jesus came to them and how they rejected him. But it was strange because God had all through time laid the foundation for Jesus' coming. All right. He gave them instructions. He told them some of the signs and things to look for so that they would be able to identify the coming Messiah. But here we see that they still missed the mark. And I begin to wonder, how could they have missed the mark? And then the Holy Spirit turned me to ourselves. We get so caught up, we get so wrapped up into our everyday lives. What we living, what we doing, what we eating, our jobs, our children, everything our minds are focused on, but what? But God. God is the last thing that we think about. We don't pick him up in the morning, and we don't pick him up at night. We don't pick him up during the day. We just go about our business doing what we do. But the minute trouble may come, then we want to pick him up. Then we want to call on him. And then we understand and wonder sometimes why he didn't answer us. Well, let me tell you why he didn't. Because number one, you don't have a relationship with him. And because you didn't have that relationship with him, when you were going through your troubles and you were calling on him and you expected something to happen, it didn't happen. That's how God feels about us. When he expects us to be obedient to his will and his way and we don't do what he tells us to do, then that becomes a problem. So put yourself, when you're going through the situation, in God's place. If you have a people that you have created. He created us. He made us in his own image. And then we began to do our own thing. We began not to need him. We began even not to desire him nor to want him. And when that happens, you don't have a relationship. But you fool yourself like you do. You go through this life like I got a relationship with God. I know who he is. But see, that relationship, just like anything else, has to be built on. It has to be worked on. The foundation has to be set. Then once the foundation is set, then you're able to go with authority before Jesus. You'll begin to go with authority and power because guess what? You can say, Lord, I know you know who I am. I know you've heard my cry. I know you received my word. I know you did. God will answer that. Why? Because you got a relationship. So don't feel bad when you don't spend time with God. You don't read your word. You don't pray to him. You don't talk to him. But all of a sudden you need him. Whoa. But let's look at what the scripture says here. In Hebrews 2:9-10, it says, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with the glory and honor that he, by the grace of God, might taste death of everyone. Now, when we look at this particular passage, see, God has taught me through the Holy Spirit how to go through and analyze and break this down. Not me, but the Holy Spirit. Look at what he says. But we see Jesus. Who is Jesus? The Son of God. Who is Jesus? the Savior of the world. And this is what happened here. I can imagine in my mind, God looked upon us and he saw us being as disobedient children, disobedient people, just not doing what he said to do. Didn't care how he put it out there, generation after generation, we kept doing the same thing over and over. We kept messing up and messing up and messing up. And then I see Jesus here who was there in the beginning. So don't think Jesus came on the scene at Bethlehem. Jesus has always been. He's always been a part of us, a part of this creation, a part of this situation. And I can see Jesus standing there looking at his Father and God is just shaking his head looking at us. And Jesus saying, Father, prepare a body. I'll go. I'll go down. Prepare a body for me. And I'll go. Now look at this body. It said, but see, Jesus was made a little lower than the angels. Why? Because see, the angels couldn't die. And the angels couldn't suffer. See, Jesus' purpose was to die. Jesus' purpose was to suffer. But then look at what it says here. He said, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God may taste death for everyone. So although God prepared this body for Jesus to come down among us, he didn't take away his crown, and he didn't take away his honor or his glory. So that lets me know here that this Jesus is 100% man, but yet 100% God. Amen. See, you may not have understood that before now, but when you're placed in a situation to do a work for God, God don't change who you are. He just magnifies it. Amen. He'll take that he has placed in you, and he magnifies it for his good. Yeah. That's what God did here with Jesus. He magnified it for his good. And then verse 10 says, for it was fitting for him for whom all things and by whom all things in the beginning who in bringing many sons to glory to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. Jesus had to go to the cross. Jesus had to die. He had to do it for our salvation. Through his suffering on the cross, we were made perfect. See, we cannot be made perfect on our own. We only can be made perfect through the suffering of Jesus Christ. So see, that gave me a new understanding about the cross. Right. Because at some point I wondered, why did Jesus have to go to the cross? Yes. But if Jesus had not gone to that cross, I would not have, you would not have the right to eternal life. We were not good enough, and I want you to see this here. We were not good enough to stand before God. Yeah. Let me call a witness. Moses tried to stand before God. And God told Moses, all you can see is just a glimpse of my back. So as God passed by Moses, Moses was able to see a glimpse of his back. And God was so powerful that Moses' hair turned white and Moses shined like a light. So what does that tell us? We are not equipped to be able to stand before God. We need it. A high priest. We needed somebody that could stand for us. We needed somebody that could testify for us. We needed somebody to die for us. We needed somebody to change our hearts and change our minds. And that somebody was Jesus. I thank you, Jesus, for going to the cross. I thank him for suffering. Because let me tell you this. Jesus was nailed to that cross. I think somewhere I read that when they would hang him on the cross, they would strap their arms and their hands and their legs together. But Jesus was nailed to the cross. Can you imagine him being nailed to that cross? Think about yourself. Your feet are cross that bound. You nailed to the cross. Your hands are nailed to the cross. The rest of your body is just hanging there. So what do you think is happening as you're hanging there? Because this is the position. So that weight of that body is ripping your hands with those nails. That weight of that body is ripping your feet with those nails. So see, Jesus went through something for us. I couldn't have been on that cross. I'd have been crying out, get me down from here. I can't take it. But Jesus hung on that cross. He hung there, it said, from the sixth to the ninth hour. He hung there. And then they said they pierced him in his side. And as they pierced him in his side, they said the water and the blood came streaming down. I said, Lord, thank you for your redeeming power. Thank you, Lord God, for loving me so much that you suffered for me. He did that. That's who Jesus is, the great high priest. He did this for us, not because he had to. He chose to. He gave of his life. Don't let anybody tell you that they took Jesus' life. You tell them that they're lying, the truth is not in them. Jesus gave up his life freely because Jesus was God. And God could have came off that cross anytime he wanted to. But he hung on that cross. He hung on that cross for you. He hung on that cross for me. He suffered and he died on that cross. He did that because he loved us so much. See, what Jesus was coming to do by his suffering, he established his kingdom. See, man had been used to dealing with their kingdoms here on this earth, their power, their decisions, what they wanted to do. And right now, we're still doing the same thing. We think we're in control of something, and we don't control anything. Right. Look at the weather. They want to predict why it's so hot. But the times tell us that things were going to change and things were going to happen. When we watch the times and you read your scriptures, you see things are lining up how God said. But see, that was the problem with the Israelites. They were not watching. They were not watching and paying attention to the signs of time. Because see, God had already told them that the Messiah was coming. And he told them how he was coming. But because Jesus didn't come in his royal apparel, because he didn't come with 100 chariots, because he wasn't flying on the wings of eagles, they didn't accept him. But I ask you today, are you getting ready? Because in my word, it tells me that Jesus is coming back. In my word, it says he's coming back like a thief in the night. He's coming back, he said, and we need to be ready. But we're not watching. We're not paying attention. We're not praying. We're not studying. We're not preparing. We're just doing our thing. But when Jesus comes back, are you going to be on board? Or are you going to miss the mark? Now is the time for us to get ready. Now is the time to prepare the way. Because Jesus said it and he meant it. There's nothing in the word of God that will not come about. And when Jesus says he's coming back like a thief in the night, a thief in the night going to come and you not know he's coming. He's not going to warn you and say, oh, here I am. He's not going to blow the trumpet and say, here I come. He's not going to do that. He's expecting you to be ready when he comes back. He's coming to establish that kingdom. In Hebrews 2, 17 and 18, it says, therefore, in all things, he had to be made like his brother. It says that he may be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God to make propitiation for the sins of the people. Now, look at this. It says, there in all things, he had to be made like his brother. That's why God made him a little lower than the angels, because he had to be like us. He had to be like us. Why was that important to know that? How can you identify with something that you have no experience with?
Amen.
See, when God did this to Jesus, now Jesus was able to walk among us. He was able to experience what we went through. He was able to deal with what we dealt with. He was able to feel what we felt.
Yeah.
He was able to sense what we sensed.
Yeah.
That is a good God.
Amen.
That love of people so much that he's willing to lay his royal crown aside and come and walk among us. Just so he would know more about us. Just so he can identify with who we are.
Yes.
I'm just so thankful that he was able to do that.
Yeah.
Because by him doing that, he let us know that he really truly loves us.
See?
Who gonna give up their royal palace
Amen.
For this? I wouldn't. I'd be up there in my palace looking at y'all and just saying, okay, whatever y'all fall into is what you fall into.
Yeah.
I'm not coming down here. I'm staying up there.
Yeah.
But he didn't do that. He loved us so much that he came down among us.
Yeah.
And then let me tell you about this when it says to be a part of us. We may wonder sometime about this baptism. Sometimes people always get it confused. They think baptism means that we're saved.
Mm-hmm.
Nah, that's not what it is. What baptism is talking about here is that when he was baptized, he fulfilled all righteousness and to identify with us. So that means when you go down in that water to be baptized, you're telling the world, I belong to Jesus.
Amen.
You're telling the world, I identify with who Jesus is. I'm doing what Jesus did because Jesus did it.
Yes.
Not because he had to. Jesus didn't have no sin.
That's right.
But we were full of sin.
Uh-huh.
He didn't have any. So we understand that baptism will not save us, but it's to identify with Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
And once we identify ourselves with Jesus Christ, we're able to talk to him honestly. We're able to walk with him honestly. Why? Because he already knows you.
Yeah.
He knows you, and he knows us better than we know ourselves. And when somebody knows you like that, when you go to them, they've already got your problem worked out.
Yeah.
They already have the answer. Now, sometimes God is just sitting back waiting on us to come to him.
Yeah. All right.
But we so proud, we're going to sit up and say, we're going to wait for God to come to us. Well, you keep on waiting. Keep on holding your breath. God doesn't force himself, but he makes it available for us to come to him.
Amen.
And then it says, that he may be a merciful and faithful high priest and things pertaining to God to make perpetuation for our sins. God forgives us. Jesus brought forgiveness through his death, through his burial, through his resurrection. Jesus is called our great high priest because he laid down his life as a living sacrifice for our sins. You had so much sin. We had so much sin that God was just tired of dealing with us. He was tired of dealing with the sin. He was tired of dealing with the frustration. I can imagine that God was just saying, you know, why did I create these people? And y'all know that God has the power to destroy everything. I remember when Moses brought the Israelites out of Egypt. And they were going through the wilderness. And Moses went up on the mountain to get the law. He was talking with God, getting information so he could bring it back to the people to show us how God wanted us to live. Before Moses could even get down from the mountain, God heard the rockets in the camp.
Yeah.
And he told Moses, he said, get down, go down. He said, those folks down there sitting. So Moses come down, and sure enough, they there dancing around and made a golden calf, and they making sacrifices to this calf and all this stuff and making their jewelry and die. I mean, just praising this graven image, which God's first law was, what? Put no other God before me. Now, I just delivered you out of the hands of Egypt, and here you are out here. First thing you do is going to praise another God. I'm the one who kept the cloud by day. I'm the one who had the stars by night. I'm the one who did that. I'm the one that spewed the water out of the rock. I'm the one that rained down bread from the manna from heaven. I'm the one who did that. And here you are praising an idol God. God got so angry, and I want you to hear what I'm saying here. God got so angry, he said, I'm going to kill all these people. I'm going to destroy them all. But Moses stepped up, and Moses said, Lord, if you kill them all, what they going to say? What are you going to leave on record? That you brought these people out of Egypt, and you killed them out here in the wilderness? So God backed back, and he looked at them. And he heard Moses pleading for him. And he said, okay, all right, I'm going to let it be. But then he sent another one. And this one he sent was his son. He sent Jesus into a sin-filled world. He sent Jesus to pay the price for our sins. Because, see, there was none good enough. There was nobody righteous enough. There was no one that God could depend on.
Yeah.
So what he did was he wrapped himself up.
Yeah.
And he brought himself down in human form. Yeah. And then he began to walk around among us. He began to teach us his will and teach us his way.
Yeah.
But you know what? This time, he was a merciful God.
Yeah.
Because, see, that was a time when you did something against God,
yeah,
you wasn't forgiven for it.
Yeah.
God just cast you to the side and went on about his business. Because guess what? God don't need you. You need him. And when we realize that we need God and he don't need us, then we'll begin to act different. We'll begin to talk different. We'll begin to walk different. I have a new respect for Jesus dying on that cross. But let me finish telling you the story. Jesus went to the cross. And I can just see him in my mind, him hanging there.
Yeah.
I can just see him on that cross. And all of a sudden, when the sin came upon him, everything turned black, everything turned dark.
Mm-hmm.
So that just tells you something. See, God will not stand in the presence of sin.
Mm-hmm.
So you best be thankful for Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Because Jesus will allow us to stand before God. Because Jesus is our intercessor between us and God. We can't stand before God for ourselves. We can't pray hard enough for ourselves. But when Jesus steps up and take that place and stand in the middle and plead to his Father, Father, give them one more chance. Father, forgive them for what they did. Father, they knew not what they were doing. God will listen to his Son, and God will give us another chance. When he said that we are like filthy rags in his sight, what do you think that means? You're just that. That means you're filthy, you're filthy, you're filthy. But Jesus can clean you up. He can clean you up. He can wash you. He can make you as white as snow. And all that stuff that you've been carrying all your life, let it go. Let it go. Because when you said, I accept Jesus, when I accept Jesus in my life, Jesus took all that stuff on him. So you don't have to carry it anymore. Give it to Jesus and let it go. Let it go. Be free. Let it go. Jesus paid the price so that you can be free. See, Jesus didn't come here lying to us. What he said was, Jesus said he was coming to proclaim his spiritual kingdom. What does that mean? Jesus is offering us something in him that we didn't have before him. See, what Jesus said when he left here, when he was risen from the dead, and he got up, and he went on back to glory. He said, I'm going away to prepare a place for you. Now, this place that he's going away to prepare is this spiritual kingdom. See, God didn't promise us a kingdom here on earth. See, that's our problem. We're looking for this earthly kingdom. There's no earthly kingdom for here for us here on this earth. Our kingdom is in heaven. And that's what we need to be looking toward. God told us that we're passing through this land. He said it's not our resting place. This is not our final destination. This is just a place that we're passing through. So let me ask you a question. If you know you're passing through, let's pretend we're going on a road trip. You're going on this road trip, and you leave here, and you're going to Austin, or you're going to Dallas, or wherever you're going. Is that your home? So that means you're only passing through. And as you pass through, you're looking to what? Come back home. See, this is what Jesus has done for us. He paid the price so we would have an eternal home. And that eternal home that he has promised us is in heaven. It's not here. All we can do here is live the best life we can. And how do we do that? We do that by making Jesus our Lord and Savior. Have you done that today? Have you accepted Jesus in your life? Have you truly made him Lord and Savior of your life? I want you to think about that for a moment, because that is the only way that you're going to find yourself in heaven. See, we take the time and we fool ourselves. We'll come out here and we'll play church. We'll come out here because our mama came, our grandmother came. And we'll come out here and we even imitate. But see, what God does, he knows your heart. He knows what's in your heart. So get your heart right with God. The only way you can do that is say, Jesus, you died for me. Acknowledge that. Jesus, you are the Son of God. Jesus, I want you to come into my life. I want you to change my heart. I want you to make me whole. When we say that, and we mean it with our hearts, Jesus will come into our lives. This day, if you repeated those words that I just gave you, Jesus has come into your life and into your heart. Why? Because you open it up for him to come in. He's not going to force his way, but he will come in when you open up and ask him to come in. Jesus is Lord, he is King, he's the great I Am, he is everything that you need, and through his suffering, he has made you whole. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to a recent sermon from Pilgrim Branch Missionary Baptist Church. We pray that you have been blessed by the preaching of God's Word. Pilgrim Branch Missionary Baptist Church is located at 16813 Huff Smith Corville Road, Houston, Texas, 77070. Our Sunday worship services are held at 8 o'clock a.m. and 11 o'clock a.m., with Wednesday night Bible study at 7 o'clock p.m. Please come out and join us for worship, study, and fellowship, where our motto is, "We are the branch, but He is the vine."